I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There. This is a podcast about the outdoors, from your window box and garden, to the fields on the edge of town, to the forests, prairies, seashores, and wilderness. On the show, we explore our relationship with nature through stories, interviews, essays, and even some fiction. We travel around the U.S. and the world with tales of love and heartbreak, passion and adversity, desperation and triumph. When you think of the outdoors, what comes to mind? Mountains, rivers, seashores, places that seem wild and untouched? If that sounds familiar, you're not alone. But there's more to the outdoors than wilderness. On today's episode, writer Jessica Gross shares an essay called The Wilds of Urbia. Her story takes us from upstate New York to the streets of Manhattan and shows how a simple exercise can enrich your appreciation for the world around you.
Several years ago, the writer Katie Royfe, a professor of mine, interviewed another writer named Janet Malcolm, who happens to be one of my idols. After one of Royfe's visits, the ever-astute Malcolm sent her a snappy little email. She wrote, "I want to talk about that moment in our meeting at my apartment last week, when I left the room to find a book and suggested that while I was away, you might want to take notes about the living room for the descriptive opening of this interview. Earlier, you had made the distinction between writers for whom the physical world is significant and writers for whom it scarcely exists who live in the world of ideas. You are clearly one of the latter. You obediently took out a notebook and gave me a rather stricken look as if I had asked you to do something faintly embarrassing." I think of this email often and this distinction between writers who carefully observe the physical world and those more alive to the world of ideas. I, like Royfe, often find myself gripped by ideas, emotions, personalities, and interactions above the sensory details of the environment. People over things. But I thought of Malcolm's email particularly last December when I briefly dated a man who was very alive to beauty. Often, as we strolled the streets of New York City, he would stop walking, his eyes wide. "Look at that," he'd say, and so I would. And there it would be, something mesmerizing, like a stone carving at the Met, which on first glance I found boring and was about to pass right by, but which, on close inspection alongside this man, revealed layers of astonishing intricacy. My sometimes tendency to overlook my physical environment is not only about preferring the world of ideas. It's also about something more banal, a lack of patience, a tendency to rush. I notice this most of all when I'm walking my little dog, Benji. Often, I can manage a couple blocks at his meandering, curiosity-fueled pace before I give his leash a little tug. "Come on, let's go!" But, inspired by this Bose ability to observe and absorb, I started playing a game while I was out with Benji. Before the walk was over, I had to notice 10 things, which I'd count on my fingers. The criteria for what counted as things was totally personal. They might not have resonated with you at all. What it boiled down to was a sudden intake of breath, or a spike of delight, or an inward melting. I'd know it when I saw it. I began to write down one of my findings each day. It was a practice in slowing down, being grounded, and, of course, in writing itself. I was describing setting and scene. It reminded me of a competition I'd done in middle school called Write It, Do It. We paired up, my partner was my best friend at the time, and were split into two rooms. One of us was given a structure and had to write out, step by step, how to put it together. Using these instructions, the other partner was supposed to construct a replica. We did terribly, second to last, as I recall. But it occurs to me that, As a writer describing the world, I don't actually want to do a perfect job. I want to include enough fine detail to get the picture going, but also enough room for the reader, or you, the listener, to make it her own. The hope is that a piece of writing becomes not a recipe, but an opportunity for the writer and the reader to create something together. So, just over a month ago, I began this project, rendering one stirring observation per day in language. Here's some of what I saw. January 18th. The light green, dried-out carcass of a Christmas tree tossed onto 83rd Street near Riverside Park, now dusted with snow and restored to the land of the beautiful. January 21st. A sidewalk tree in a raised planting bed, its root system exposed like a diorama in a nature museum. January 22nd. Spending the weekend in Irvington in the Hudson Valley. Walking to my Airbnb, a bird's call rings out, something like a baby's wail giving way to a happy uptick. Rah-wee! 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 January 23rd. Snow spattered across a brick wall, like white birds in flight. January 24th. Still in Irvington. A morning walk. I turn onto the Croton Harmon Aqueduct and beauty explodes into view. A thin path packed with white, the trees reaching their white-rimmed fingers overhead to touch. January 25th. Morning walk, Riverside Park. A fluffy golden dog burrowing in the snow, only the top slice of his body visible, as though he's underwater, but, poking out, a tail wagging vigorously. January 26th. Late morning run through Riverside Park, still bursting with snow. I pass a woman with a dog. Next to them is what appears to be the dog's stuffed animal. I smile. I love when dogs walk to the park with their toys in their mouths, like toddlers with their blankies. But, as I pass and look closer, it becomes clear this is a dead squirrel frozen on the ground, its tail all puffed out like it fell right out of a tree. This is something chilling. I think about it all day. January 28th. Central Park pavement. A thin sheet of ice shattered like a mirror, cracked in a fight. January 29th. A boy of 13-ish sprints by in a yarmulke, dark dress shoes, black wool jacket. I step aside. "Thank you," he yells as he passes, then flings one, then the other, ends of his scarf over his shoulders, the fabric flapping behind him like a boat's wake. February 1st, 9 o'clock p.m., post-prandial walk down Amsterdam on a warm winter evening. An especially long and skinny dachshund pulls an especially tall and skinny man down the street. He's wearing a winter hat with ear flaps and, guarding his long pale legs, a pair of shorts. February 7th, a shrunken, icy snowman, peed on, but not dead yet. February 11th, chipped blue nail polish on a young girl's hand. February 12th, first night at an inn in Okemo, Vermont, a weekend away. Cozy living room, armchairs, fireplace. On a couch, a boy of 9 or 10, supine, his legs draped over his mom's lap in intimacy so raw it makes me ache. February 13th. Gray, gray, gray. An abandoned farmhouse, empty and rotting in the snow. all is black and white save for the two yellowing bushes out front, spots of color against the starkness. February 15th, first night back in New York. Benji charging through Riverside Park in the lamplight, a giddy black smudge in the freshly fallen snow. A month later, I sense a tiny shift in perspective that has somehow revealed a different world. I feel myself moving just a little more slowly, allowing Benji to sniff and wander and pee as he pleases. I feel myself becoming just that much more alive to beauty. Will I keep writing these down every day? Probably not. But I will tell you that yesterday morning, I couldn't help but notice a discarded black scrunchie on the pavement, a silent protest that we've moved into the new millennium. New York is full of little wonders, even in the scattered garbage. And now I get to see them.
That was Jessica Gross. She's a writer, and yes, she lives in New York City with her dog, Benji. You can find more of her work at jessicargross.com. That's Jessica, RGROSS.com. Thank you to Walter Mugden, Heather Kitching, Jenny and Diego Cuenca, and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. Support from listeners is what makes this show possible. So if you'd like to make a donation too, just go to outthereshow.com and click support. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our email list, and you can follow me on Twitter at Willow Belden. That's it for this episode. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day. Be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.